Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. We'd like to welcome you to our service in the Blessed Community, and we trust and pray that the Lord has blessed you this past week, and truly He has. Well, we're on the verge of entering into another week, and certainly the Lord has bless me, and I'm quite sure I have some company regarding the Lord's blessing. Amen. We're again thanking you for your prayers and your cards and your well wishes, and we're feeling much better, and we're trusting in God to bring us through. Amen. So before we begin our service today, we would like to again thank you for joining in with us, and we trust and pray what the message will convey will be uplifting and satisfying to your soul. So let us begin. I let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
We'd like to direct your attention to the 103rd number of the Psalms, and it reads, beginning with verse 1. Psalms 103, verse 1 reads, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." We like to speak briefly on this topic this morning, counting our blessings. Counting our blessings. For no matter what condition we may find ourselves in today, we are still truly blessed by our relationship with Christ Jesus. We may be undergoing problems, maybe undergoing trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, for God has overcome this world. Satan doesn't want you to hear that or believe that, but it is true. So when you find yourself down, when you find yourself doubting the word of the Lord, I advise you to count your blessings. Amen. And this hymn this morning, this hymn of praise, is without peer in all of the world's literature, for it's the language of a man who has stirred up his soul to contemplate the goodness and faithfulness of his God. Now, if you notice, his words are untouched with sorrow, complaint, or selfishness. There's none of that in his words. From the beginning to the end, the stanzas, they seem to cascade like a flood of thanksgiving. Indeed, the psalm has been compared to a stream which gradually acquires strength and volume until waves of praise swell around those of the sea. So underlying the magnificence of the poetic movement is the call to count our blessings day by day. The psalmist tells us to have thankful hearts, grateful hearts, and with our grateful hearts we're to praise the qualities of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Now, this is where every soul has to start. Before we can thank God for His blessings, we First, I have to thank him for his being. And this is what the psalmist commands us to do. He urges us to engage all of our intellectual and emotional powers in blessifying and magnifying the holy name of God. That phrase, his holy name, embraces every attribute of the person and nature of our God. As we survey the essential and moral excellencies and virtues of God as they're revealed in his word and especially in his son, we can't help but be lost in wonder, lost in love, and lost in praise. For we live today in a time where men and women are encouraged to adopt an unworthy view of God and of his word. So it's important and wholesome that we come to such a psalm and this order to condition ourselves to afresh, make new the art of worship. See, worship is to be lively. Worship is to be spontaneous. Worship is to be true. For it was Jesus who told us that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So worship is not to be burdened down with tradition. Now, that's not worship. So what we need is a spiritual attitude and biblical knowledge to praise the attributes of God. And then once we praise and once we make known the attributes of God, the next thing is that we're to itemize the blessings of God. You see, one of the evidences of the havoc of sin has caused in our life is that we have become creatures of forgetfulness. Whether in times of failure or success, we tend to overlook the constant blessings which God has lavished upon us. So the divine poet exhorts us to don't forget his blessings. Don't forget all of his benefits. Indeed, we're to itemize both the personal benefits and the national benefits of God. The personal benefits. You may ask, who's the greatest saint in the world? Is it he who prays the most or fasts the most? Is it not he who gives the most or is known for not engaging in alcohol or extramarital affairs or who's in love with justice? No, but it's he who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God wills, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness and has a heart that stands ready to praise God for everything they receive. So consider first the personal blessings. The first thing we receive from God is the personal blessing of forgiveness. There is only one who can absolve sins, and that is God through his Son, Christ Jesus. For it was Jesus who declared that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. So I ask you this question this morning. Have you been forgiven? Do you know the peace of a pardoned life? And if so, you can say with David, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. My brothers and sisters, can you itemize this blessing in your life? Needless to say, it's the basic blessing to all other blessings, because without forgiveness, nothing else can follow. And then we have the blessing of restoration, who heals all of your diseases. Now, while the thought of sickness is not entirely absent from this statement, the main idea is that of moral defilement. John, in his letter, combines the blessing when he says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't it wonderful to know that the blood of Christ Jesus, God's Son, goes on cleansing and restoring us as we walk in the light of obedience? And then we've got the blessing of elevation. He who redeems life from destruction, or more literally, who saves or rescues your life from the pit. David had this in mind in the 40th number of the Psalm, verses 1 through 2, when he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Thank God for that elevated place that he brings his people. Paul describes this as being made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then we have the blessing of satisfaction. The psalmist says, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like that of the eagle. That's the refreshing effect of God's satisfying blessing in Christ, that our youth is renewed like the eagle's. The reference here is to the fresh and vigorous appearance of the eagle when it receives its new feathers. Yes, Isaiah reminds us this when he said, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Then these are the personal blessings that we're to itemize. So let's see to it that we never forget or overlook what God is constantly doing for us through Christ Jesus. Then we have national blessings. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He's made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. But when he brought them out of bondage through the wilderness and into the promised land. Now this heavenly intervention has been repeated numerous times without number throughout the history of mankind, especially with the black community. We know what it is to be oppressed. We know what it is to be marginalized and counted as nothing and nobody. Yet through it all, God has come to our rescue. Through it all, God has made a way out of no way. Therefore, we can't forget his blessings. And then, as I close, we must recognize the purposes of God. For Psalm 103, verses 20 through 22, it reads, bless the Lord, you his angels. Bless the Lord, all of you his hosts. Bless the Lord, all his works, and bless the Lord, O my soul. The psalmist here, he climaxes his hymn of praise by calling upon the angels in heaven and men on earth to recognize the purposes of God throughout the universe and throughout time and eternity. No one can appreciate the attributes and benefits of God without desiring, above everything else, to advance his purpose. And we do this by obeying God's word. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength and who do his word. Now, the archangels in heaven, they excel in strength and are engaged unceasingly in obeying the word of their God. We should remember this when we pray the phrase of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You see, a thankful heart, a grateful heart issues an obedient life. Can't you hear the word of God saying it's better to obey than sacrifice? And then we have to learn how to cherish the fulfillment of God's will. For if celestial beings that excel in strength are archangels, then the multitude of hosts of heaven are angels, whose tireless occupation is that of fulfilling divine will. Paul tells us that the ultimate expression of total dedication to God is that of proving what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. That's the only way that we're going to please the Lord and live to his glory. And last but not least, we've got to do God's work. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Here the psalmist has in mind the material universe, including mankind. And he calls upon every creature on earth to perform their appointed task. Paul reminds us that we are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, true gratefulness of heart issues, not only in the obedience of life, but it also deals with the performance of labor. For we are God's fellow workers. Now, counting our blessings is more than just mouthing words or even saying prayers. It involves praising the attributes of God and itemizing the benefits of God and recognizing the purposes of God. And if our gratefulness is genuine, we should not only proclaim, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," but we shall go forth to obey God's word, then to fulfill God's will and to do his work. Can I get a witness? We're here to obey God's word. We're here to fulfill God's will. And we're here to perform the work that God has given us to do. Amen. Amen. And amen again. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, dear Lord, we thank you for the message today, and we pray that it will find its way in our hearts and govern our steps accordingly. We thank you, Holy God, for your will. We thank you, Holy God, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your purpose, and we pray that each and every one of us will find our purpose and do it as no one else can, because it's ours. And Holy God, we pray for blessed community, collectively as well as individually. For we ask these blessings all in the blessed name of Jesus. And for his sake we do pray. Amen. Amen. And see you next week. God willing. Amen.